Ignorant living being. Tamasa, in sleep.
Yukta,
engaged. Upaste, acts according to. Vyaktam, body. Eva, certainly. He,
indeed.
Naveda,
does not know.
Purvam,
past body.
Aparam,
next body.
Nashta,
lost.
Janma Smriti,
remembrance of birth.
Tattam,
similarly.
Translation is a sleeping person acts according to the body manifest in his dreams and accepts it to be himself. So one identifies with his present body, which he acquired because of his past, for religious or irreligious actions, and is unable to know his past or future lives. Purport, a man engages in sinful activities because he does not know what he did in his past life, to get his present and maturely contaminated body, which is subject to the threefold misery. As stated by Rishabhadeva, Shimambhavajam, Nunam Pramatta Purte, the karma, a human being who is mad after such gratifications does not hesitate to act sinfully. Yad Indriya Pritya Apranoti, he performs sinful acts simply for sense gratification of Sadhavane, this is not good, Yato Atmanaoyam Asanabhi Klesha, the Asadeha. Because of such sinful actions, one receives another body in which to suffer as he is suffering in his present body because of his past sinful activities. It should be understood that a person does not have a Vedic knowledge, always acts in ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he is doing in the present, or how he will suffer in the future. He is completely in darkness. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is, Tamasima, don't remain in darkness, Jyotirgama. Try to go to the light. The light or illumination is Vedic knowledge, which one can understand when he is elevated to the mode of goodness, or when he transcends the mode of goodness, by engaging in devotional service to the spiritual master and the supreme lord. This is described in Svetasvatara Upanishad. Yasa devi para bhaktir yata deva tata guru tasa chitta hyarta prakasa de mahatmanaha. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. The Vedas enjoin tad vijnanartham sadgurum eva vigachet. One must approach a spiritual master with full knowledge of the Vedas and be faithfully directed by him in order to become a devotee of the Lord. Then the knowledge of the Vedas will be revealed. When the Vedic knowledge is revealed, one need no longer remain in the darkness of material nature. According to his association with the modes, material modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the living entity gets a particular type of body. Example of one who associates with the mode of goodness is a qualified Brahman. As a Brahman knows past, present, and future because he consults the Vedic literature and sees through the eyes of Shastra. He can understand what his past life was, why he's in the present body, and how he can obtain liberation from the clutches of Maya, and not accept another material body. This is all possible when one is situated in the mode of goodness. Generally, however, the living entity is very gross in the modes of passion and ignorance. In any case, one receives an inferior or superior body at the discretion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, as stated in the present previous verse. Manasaiva Pure Deva Purva Rupa Vipasyati Anume Mamsate Purva Manasa Bhagavanaja. Everything depends on Bhagavan or Acha, the unborn. Why doesn't one please Bhagavan to receive a better body? The answer is Agyas Tamasa, because of gross ignorance. One who is in complete darkness cannot know what his past life was or what his next life will be. He simply is in his present body. Even though he has a human body, a person in the mode of ignorance, and interested only in his present body, is like an animal. For an animal being covered by ignorance thinks that the ultimate goal of life and happiness is to eat as much as possible. A human being must be educated to understand his past life and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. There is even a book called the Bhrigu Samhita, which reveals information of one's past, present, and future lives according to astrological calculations. Somehow or other, one must be enlightened about his past, present, and future. One who is interested only in his present body and who tries to enjoy his senses to the fullest extent is understood to be engaged in the mode of ignorance. His future is very, very dark. Indeed, the future is always dark for one who is grossly full of ignorance. Especially in this age, human society is covered by the veil of ignorance. And therefore, everyone thinks his present body to be everything without consideration of the past and future. Now, this is a discussion of the Yamadutas explaining why they punish a certain people. And to do this, they're explaining how people in the material world commit sinful activities due to the influence of the modes of nature and their desires. And then, because of the sinful activities, then they have to get the punishment. So, this particular verse is showing how, just as making comparison, when one goes sleep and has a dream, one identifies with that body in the dream. So similarly, even in the waking state, one also identifies with this particular body, even though it is temporary. And he doesn't have any recollection of his past or his future. He doesn't understand that he had a body in the past and he will get a body in the future. He only thinks in terms of his body. And therefore he commits all sorts of acts, not seeing that they have a consequence in future lives. Just as a person in the dream does not understand that actually he's not that body, but it's only a dream, and actually he belongs to another body or whatever. He only is conscious of that particular body in the dream. So similarly, the person in the waking state is also simply conscious of his particular body at that time. And there's no recollection or understanding that he had previous bodies at all. So, there's actually no way of knowing past lives, because we cannot physically trace out previous life and previous life. It's all invisible. People by karma may be born in one country and next life in a different country or in a different species even. So it is difficult to trace that out using the mind or whatever. So, how do we understand everything? Only by learning scriptures. And then we can understand that this is this process takes place. So we may not know all the details of which particular body we were in the past. Nevertheless, we understand the principle that we go from body to body, and our actions in one body determine what type of body we have in the future. So, based on that knowledge, then we learn to do proper activities so that we don't have to suffer in the future. So this is the understanding of the law of karma. So in this verse, the Yamadutas and people in general don't understand the law of karma. They don't understand that because of the activities they do now, in the future, they will have to suffer. So particularly the sinful activities which cause the suffering. The sinful activities are those activities which are against the scriptures. But if one doesn't know the scripture, then one is bound to commit those sinful activities. So, therefore, people who are in the lower modes generally don't know scripture, and therefore they are subject to all these sinful activities. A person who is in goodness has more chances of accepting the scriptures and understanding them, etc. So, therefore, he will avoid the sinful activities, so understand the law of karma, and he won't have to get all these punishments. So that is the distinction of these people, those who are in the modes of ignorance, passion. These are the ones that are going to get punishment. If one is in the mode of goodness and he doesn't have scriptural opportunities, still his chances are much better, because the nature of sattva is to control the senses. That person does not engage in gross sense gratification. He has no interest in such things. because the definition of sattva is he is peaceful. He gets his enjoyment within rather than outside. So naturally he will control the senses. So even if he doesn't have scriptures, still his tendency will be to control the senses, not indulge in all sorts of sinful activities to satisfy the senses. And the nature of a sattvic person is prakash, which means knowledge. He can understand that there's something higher than the body, that he is the Atma. So therefore, he is naturally disinclined from material activities. So therefore, sattva is much more favorable. If that person gets a chance to understand scripture, then of course he has much better knowledge and opportunities to advance. But even if he doesn't, then he's in sattva still. He's not going to get all these hellish punishments because he does not engage in an uncontrolled manner in activities. People in the mode of ignorance, of course, are very liable to get this punishment because they are, one, unable to control their senses and inclined to enjoy the material world. And they have total disregard for anybody and anything. So even if there is scripture, generally they don't want to accept it. People on the mode of passion are very ambitious. They may accept scripture, but usually they'll try to use it for themselves. And of course the result will be they will try to exploit the scripture and whatever, they get the maximum enjoyment out of it. So in this way, they actually also commit offenses or aparadhas by utilizing things to commit sinful activities. So therefore, they also have to suffer. So, therefore, it's the people in the mode of goodness who are more likely to surpass the punishments of the mirage. Now, of course, those in the Varnashram system will also escape the punishment because that system regulates the people in Tamagun Rajagun. And they are, by rule of law, government, king, they are restricted from certain activities. So therefore, they also escape the punishment of that. But if we don't have such a system, then the people of Tamagun Rajagun will generally have to suffer hell because they don't have these restrictions on them. So that is the why we have this system of Varnashram, to prevent the sinful activities, etc. Now, what if there is no Varnashram system? Then everybody has to suffer. And around the world in general, there's no Varnashram system, and even in India, it's very weak, not much left of it. So yes, people are subject to lots of hellish punishment in Kali Yuga. But then we have the remedy, chanting the name of the Lord. So in the case of Ajivino also, in spite of Varnashram system being there, he became sinful, but he escaped the punishment because of chanting the name of the Lord. So similarly, in Kali Yuga, the real remedy for everybody is chanting the name of the Lord. But if we think, I will commit the sinful activities and then chant to get rid of the result, that is going to have an opposite effect. Yeah? So, therefore, the only way this works is accidental chanting. They don't know, and they get the result. Or they chant at the same time with the understanding that they're trying to give up all these sinful activities, and they restrict themselves. So these are the two ways in which the name will have effect. But if they take advantage of the name have to commit sinful activities, that becomes aparan, and they don't escape the punishment. So therefore, if we are compassionate that people want to stop their suffering in hell, then we can broadcast the name of Krishna everywhere and let them hear it. That's good for them. And secondly, those who are interested in serious chanting, to those people, we have to give them good instructions on how to chant and how to avoid sinful activities. And this way they can avoid hellish punishment, Kali Yuga.
You say that those who are in mood of goodness, they do not go to hellish one. But you see that even
one. But generally.
Yeah, that I'm saying that even those who are in mood of goodness, still they commit some offenses unknowingly that they cannot avoid.
Yeah.
But for that purpose, they have to go to hellish one.
Not accidental.
Yeah, accidentally. We suppose. Those who are moving the still, they kill some ants. They may kill. But still they are committing offense.
So they go to hell for that?
Yeah, why not?
Who says?
Because they are committing offense unknowingly.
Yeah, well, hellish punishment generally is reserved for those people who do gross, willful crimes. Killing illegally and doing all those sorts of things. Huh? If you see the fifth canto, those who suffer, those they do certain sinful activities. It's not accidental, it's intentional. Yeah, it's all intentional. If they do something accidental, yes, they have to suffer something, but generally they don't have to get hellish punishment for that. So, and of course there are also prescriptions. The for to avoid that is the Pancha Mahayogya is done to avoid the accidental ones as well. Whatever, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get hellish punishment for that. But they get some karma for it, so that they avoid that karma also, whatever it is. Yes, you get karma for everything, but hellish punishment, not necessarily. Well, that's the nature is the, yes, the chanting of the name destroys your karmas, past, present, and future. And we know that eventually, as one goes to bhakti from anartana vritti to nishta rujya sakti, then not only karmas are destroyed, but the root of karma, which is desires, and then behind that, avidya is eventually destroyed in bhava stage. So, to get from the anartana vritti stage, bhajanagriya anartana vritti, all the way to bhava, then that takes some time. So in that period, there is liable to have, a person is liable to have desires. It's not that all the desires are completely eradicated at that point. Only in bhava is ahankara destroyed. So up to that point, there is possibility of committing some sinful activity or deviating in some way. And even in the case of Bharat, he forgot to worship the Lord. He got influenced by material nature. So even in bhava stage, it is possible. The influence of Maya, even in bhava stage. And that is so in bhava stage because the effects of aparad can influence you even there and cause some problems, as in the case of Bharat. So, before that stage, then there's always some possibility of committing sinful activity or whatnot. In any case, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, still that person is my devotee. The Lord, in spite of that, accepts that person. So he does not consider the sinful activity such an impediment to bhakti. If one commits aparads, that becomes an impediment to bhakti. Because then the Lord has no mercy on that person. So we have to make a distinction between aparad and sinful acts. And of the two, the aparana is more serious in terms of bhakti. And the sin is not so serious because the Lord himself is still, he's my devotee. But when aparada is, then the Lord may not say that anymore.
So Maharaj, in the years of devotional service, also the person must give a desire in order that he must give a contract. The person is very angry because he has to struggle till the last. He gives up struggling, Maharaj, that what he does. Years of devotional service, and again, when he says
Well, what I'm saying is he's not completely pure yet. Until he reaches prema, he is not 100% pure. So there's always a possibility of being affected by maya up until prema. Because even in bhava, there's possibility. So before that, in nishtarushi or sati or whatever, still, more possibilities are there. But it does not mean that bhakti is destroyed. But if we do aparans, then the bhakti is decreased or even destroyed.
What is the difference between offensive chanting and namaha? Offensive chanting and namaha. In namaha, we are also being offensive. No, there are no offenses. They are not offensive.
Well, in namavas, generally, we are not as devotees. If we have faith, then we're not consciously committing aparadhas. Maybe unintentionally or whatever, and they do something. So if it's unintentional, it does not have such an effect. When it is intentional, that is when it actually has great effect on the bhakti itself.
And for Sudhanama, we have to let the 10 offenses should all go. For Sudhanama, coming to Sudhanama, that offenses should go, that 10 offenses fully.
Well, as long as we're in the material world, unconsciously or accidentally, we cannot prevent anything like that. It's impossible. But as far as intentional, definitely we can avoid that. So that is the one we're concerned with. That one we must avoid in all cases.
பின்ன வரும்போதே நினைச்சிட்டு வருவேன் இந்த மாலை எனக்கு அறிவு